Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind.
What's going on? It's your man Casanova Wings with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast, episode number 3 for season 4. I'm doing seasons now. You know, I decided that I'm going to really make this more organized than it used to be. I know you're like, man, after three years, yeah, I know. Hey, everything's a work in progress, people. Everything's a development. You know, I'm sticking to topics now. I'm scheduling it correctly. Because like I said, I got to put more into this podcast because this is the podcast that saved my life. And if you don't believe me, this podcast right here, this one is near and dear to me. This one, this podcast here is probably maybe one of the most personal podcasts I'm going to do this season. Just because of the topic. Now, you probably see by the title, the title is Depression and Anxiety in Black Man. Now, if you've been following me and been rocking with me for these last 3 years, you know my story. But those that haven't, maybe you just haven't gone back enough to my first podcast and listened to me. And I've talked about this over time, you know, over the podcast in these years. But I'm going to get into the details of this one because this one is definitely my experience. Okay, so about 3 years ago, I had a nervous breakdown. Me and my wife got into a huge argument, one of the worst arguments in the world that we've ever gotten into in our 20 plus years of marriage. At that time, 17 plus years, right? It was very ugly. I mean, nobody was hating each other and, you know, no old bitch, fuck you, nothing like that. But it was arguing about situations we were in, our life. Just it got really, really ugly. It was in front of the kids. One of my business partner was there. It got really, really ugly. And now let me tell you why. I am a person that I don't deal with death well. I don't deal with loss well. I don't deal with change well. I used to not deal with change well. I'm the type of person that moves forward when something happens tragic. Before I didn't deal with anything that was stressful mentally, I try to keep positive, keep moving forward. And I did deal with things. Maybe I should go either further back. I was raised in the Bronx, New York, as everybody knows. Mother had me at 16. You know, father wasn't there. I'm a typical, you know, what was average back in the days. You know, that was just typical of the New Yorkers, right? And my grandmother was my rock. She was like my mother. Not that my mother wasn't there, but my grandmother was a greater influence because of her wisdom and her years and mistakes she's made and with her kids and her life. She always says she wanted to make sure I didn't make those mistakes and do right by me. When I was in college, my grandmother passed away. It was kind of sudden. My grandmother was working, traveling to her job. She had a job working in Staten Island. She used to take the train 2 hours there, 2 hours back. She was definitely a very strong person, but she smoked. And one day she got sick, went to the hospital. She had cancer of her lungs. It wasn't really too clear what she had, to be honest. Maybe it was cancer, some type of cancer, something. There was some talks about leaning near cancer disease or something, or her job. And it was a lot of stuff, but I wasn't at the point to understand everything, to be honest. But I know it was some form of cancer of her lungs. She went to the hospital one day and they said she had cancer. She couldn't work. So she went home. About a week or two later, she went back to the hospital and she died. Now, I have no desire to understand what happened, to look into it. Like I said, there was a lot of different reasons for her to die. It was kind of quick, who knows? But like I said, she passed away. I got really depressed. I was in college at the time, and I used to cry every night because I was alone. You know, I didn't have my grandmother, who's my best friend, that taught me so much. She wasn't there, and I dealt with it. And I, first time in my life, I got on medication, but the medication made me feel, it made me feel kind of, I'm a very exciting person. Well, not exciting, but I'm a very person that my mind goes, I'm creative, and the medication kind of stops that. So I stopped taking the medication and I moved on. Fast forward, living in Florida. The few years before my breakdown, my father, who wasn't there in my life, but I knew of him. I knew my father. I mean, I knew him, but didn't know, you know, we were talking on the phone, Facebook for like last 2 years. He died. Then about maybe a year later, year and a half later, my best friend at the time, Jay Harv, a gentleman over the years that I've grown to love like a brother, he died. And then just various things happen in life. Losses here, business not going well, relationships with people not panning out as they should, feeling betrayed. A lot of things happened, and I didn't deal with none of it. I just kept it moving. I was able to maintain because they all happened at a specific time. My breakdown was because everything happened at one time. COVID hit. I left my job because I was pursuing everything full time. And everything crashed. No money was coming in. Business wasn't doing good. Me and my wife's relationship was rocky. Friends that I were close to, they all moved away. So I didn't have any support system. Any close friends of mine weren't here. Relationships with individuals were going down. It was a lot that happened at one time, which caused me to have the breakdown. So I volunteered myself into a facility, behavioral center. Some people call it crazy house, all that stuff. So that's what some people call it. Not me. I'm just saying, I don't want nobody to be canceling me. I don't call it the crazy house because I was there. So I went in, and what I really realized was I didn't have as much problems as I thought, because people in there, they really had problems. After talking to the doctor there, I was diagnosed with depression, which I already knew, and anxiety and sleep deprivation. Because through all of this, these years, I was only sleeping until like only 2-3 hours a night. So I was diagnosed with that. And I got on medication. The depression was one thing, but the anxiety was another. I didn't even know I was having anxiety. There were days I didn't even want to go outside. Like, I would cling to being inside so much. I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to do anything that was not the normal. There was days due to the pressure as well, I wanted to kill myself. I would wake up in the morning and look up and say, why am I here? Going out at night was scary. I felt as if the protection that I had around me was gone. And it's not a actual protection. It's not an actual, it's just this feeling of that I'm exposed. So I stayed in a lot. I didn't go out. The medication did help, but let's be honest, it's not the end all. At that point, I realized how everything was against me. Now, don't get me wrong. My road to recovery wasn't only this blaming everybody. It was also inner healing. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that I'm not just talking about, you know, everybody did this to me. No. I did a lot of inner healing as well. But I'm just talking about depression, anxiety, especially in Black men here in America. And I started by telling my story. Because during the depression, where I was going through, I was noticing things in life. I was noticing how it is to be a Black man and what we deal with every day. And that depression, anxiety is so prevalent within us that we don't even know we have it. I was fighting demons for so many years and I didn't even know it. I was being attacked by everything around me and didn't even know it. You know why? Because it's so normal. It's so embedded into your life that you don't even recognize it. That even if you express your depression or have anxiety, it's just thrown to the side as it means nothing. Oh, you're depressed, get happy. You anxiety, get a job or whatever. Find the Lord. One of the things that was a problem in my marriage when I first went through my mental health was my wife did not understand mental health. Now, I've stated this before, but my wife is Haitian. I mean, she Haitian, you know. She was born in Haiti. Her family's very Haitian. They're not like those, as they call the new Haitians. You know what I mean? I was born here, Americanized. No, you know, they're very deep in their values, religion, things like that. So in the Haitian community, when a man is quote unquote depressed, anxiety or whatever, he seems as lazy. And then for him to cure it is either get out there, work hard, ignore it, or pray to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying any of those are bad, but unfortunately, when you have mental health problems, that doesn't exactly address the issues. So now you're out here trying to move forward, ignoring the problems, and then like me, it blows up when it gets too much. My wife didn't understand. It was hard for her to understand that the way I was acting was because of mental health. You know, she was so used to seeing the strong man that was a leader, that was, you know, moving forward and doing his thing, that when I was weak, it wasn't the fact that, oh, I don't like him, love him, or he's no longer useful. She couldn't understand. And see, that's the problem with Black men in America, is that when we are hurting and in pain, people don't understand it because either we need to be strong enough to overcome it, or We're just horrible people. There's no middle. There's no understanding. Depression and anxiety is so deep within black men that we really think it's just part of our psyche. And it's just for us to ignore. We're not supposed to talk to anybody. We're not supposed to be on medication because that's a negative. If you go to a woman as a black man and say, yeah, I'm in therapy right now for my depression and anxiety, she's going to automatically think, this nigga crazy. You got problems. She's not going to sit there and say, oh, wow, you know, that's great. You're getting your mental together. No, it's not seem like that with black men. Because everything is connected to the negative with us. It is easy to be depressed. Like most black men have depression and anxiety. And just because you function right don't mean you don't have it. See, and that's a big misunderstanding with mental health is that, well, they seem normal. They're acting normal, so they must not have it. It's not that important. But you fight every day. I fight every day now. You know, I'm off medication. I was one of the privileged people to be on medication for a year and just stop it one day cold turkey. I was privileged enough to do it. I didn't have a bad reaction in my system. I was completely fine. You know, but everybody's not like that. Thank God he built me this way where I could do it. But women don't respect that. Other people don't respect that, that you're on medication. That's not manly. We don't address mental health because when we do, it's negative. It's negative reaction. I should be able to say that I'm handling my mental and get praised and get, you know, support. But support for mental health for black men is negative. Because for us, mental health doesn't exist. It's our traits. Anything bad comes from mental health, it's our traits. I'm depressed. Oh, you're just lazy. You don't want to do nothing. Get over it. I have anxiety. What are you scared of? Grow some balls. Be a man. This is what we're told all the time. This is the reality of being a black man that has depression and anxiety. It will never be addressed or seen as something legit because you are not seen as somebody that is worthy of understanding. Let's be real. See, that's why I talk about self-help, self-help. Not because I don't understand that we do have problems. We do have mental health issues and we have systematical things that are happening in our country against us. We have our women not supporting us. We have other races demeaning us. We have it all. We do. My black man, we do. But at the end of the day, we still control our own fate. Through all of that, right? Instead of me getting better for everybody else, for my kids, for my wife, for family, friends, partners, all that, I decided to get better for me. I said to myself, I don't want to be the man that everybody wants me to be anymore. I want to be the man I want to be. I didn't give a flying rat's ass anymore about what anybody thought about me. I didn't care what my wife thought. I didn't care what my kids thought. Because my job is to be the best man I can be. And being the best man I could be is being the best person for them. Being a better leader, making more money, being just a better person overall, feeling good about myself. That ray of light that I shine will brighten everybody else up. But see, I used to worry about everybody else. I'm doing this for this person, that person, that person. I never did nothing for me. And when I broke down, 95% of them people were gone. So at the end of the day, I had to make sure I had to be the best man I could be. See, the problem is that we worry so much. Depression, anxiety, it's really an overextended worry of everything around you. You're depressed because of how you're treated and how you're viewed. You have anxiety because you don't know what's, you know, who's out to attack you. Now, I know there's severe cases of it. There's mild cases of it. I'm just talking in general. I don't want nobody to come on the podcast or message me talking about, oh, you know, there's mental imbalance that causes it. So don't, I understand all of that. Trust me, I have a degree in psychology and I hold several mental health certifications. So I completely understand. Trust me. I'm just talking general. There's exceptions to the rules as well, but I'm not here to talk about those. I'm just in general. Depression, anxiety was triggered from something, a lack of an awareness of something, a loss, a gain. I mean, it could trigger from a lot of different places, but overall depression is that you have a very negative feeling about what's your environment and what's going on in simple terms. Of course, it's more legal, legit, big word term. Yeah, I know. But just, you know, in general, anxiety is being afraid. Being afraid of the unknown. The what if. And we are conditioned as black men to have that. Because we are raised in the unknown and what if. I can literally walk outside today and be racially profiled by a cop or just a regular person just for what I wear, how I look, how I may talk, how I may walk. Shoot, I may get judged by how I look at somebody. True story. One time I had a client, I was at a youth program and I had a client, this young lady, and she had a lot of problems. Her and her mother were very, I don't want to say ghetto, but they were very irate about services. They wanted stuff that they weren't really qualified for. They were yelling, screaming, cursing. You know, both of them never responded with a curse word, never responded with hostility. I was always professional. About 2 weeks later, I get called into the office by one of my managers that said that there was a complaint about me. And I said, what is this complaint about? Because I've never heard about the complaint. I want to make sure that I, you know, address the things properly and that I'm not, I'm concerned. He mentioned it was that girl. I was like, oh Lord, what did she complain about? You know, I knew that she was a problem. That's why I always kept myself professional. Always had somebody in the room when I was talking to her. Never was, you know, private or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I made sure I covered my ass, right? And let me tell you where anxiety comes from, okay? So I made sure I covered my ass. Always was in the room when somebody else was present. You know what I'm saying? Never was alone with her. Always spoke positive and confident. Never said anything disrespectful. Never said anything loud because I knew her type. So when I sat there and I said, okay, what is the issue? She said that you, I was like, well, did she say I said anything? You know, and I knew I didn't say anything to this girl in any negative way. She's like, no, she didn't say you said anything. I was like, oh, okay, well, what did she say I do for me to be sitting down here with you to talk about it? Well, she said every time you talk, to her, you don't say anything inappropriate, but your eyes. I'm like, my eyes? What's wrong with my eyes? Do I have a lazy eye or something? Is there something going on that I don't know? She's like, no, she just said your eyes look very seductive. I'm like, wait, hold on. My eyes look seductive? I don't understand. Yeah, that's all she said, is your eyes. You never said anything inappropriate, never did anything, but just your eyes make her feel like you want her and is inappropriate. I was like, so you're telling me I'm sitting here in this meeting with you. You had to sit me down to address my eyes and the way I look at her. I was like, are you serious? Now, of course, nothing happened. It was stupid. Laugh about it later. But that is what you have to deal with as a black man. It's stuff like that where you could do everything right and you still are wrong or perceived as wrong. Now, let's say it was the wrong person, the wrong manager, the wrong time of day, and they wanted to escalate this. Because how we have been, we are been on America, in America long enough to see ridiculous lawsuits and accusations and criminal charges be placed on. Ridiculous, makes no sense. So it's not far-fetched to think in the climate of our society today that if she went to the right person and said that, that there wouldn't have been some serious repercussions about that. Cops coming to me telling me, hey, sir, we need your statement. Legal action. I mean, let's be honest. People are stupid out there. People do crazy things. But see, that's the anxiety that you get as a black man, that no matter what, you are going to be accused, no matter what you do. You stand too tall, they feel incriminated by you. I remember one time I was in an office talking to my boss, and she said, can you sit down? I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm standing up. I don't want to sit down. It was something about me sitting down. My leg hurt or something. It was just better for me to stand up. She's like, well, I feel uncomfortable with you standing over me. I'm like, what do you mean standing over you? Well, I just feel uncomfortable. I'm like, why would you feel uncomfortable if I'm standing at your desk, in front of your desk, talking to you? Wasn't talking aggressively. It was just a conversation. But now all of a sudden you feel uncomfortable. Why is that? Why would you feel uncomfortable with me? No, backstory. She is a white woman. I'm a black man. Why would you feel uncomfortable with me? And she didn't say any reason. Oh, I just do. You know, not that, you know, oh, you know what? I feel cool because I always got to look up and stuff in my neck really hurts. Just, you know what I'm saying? Or something. It was just a, oh, no, I just felt comfortable. Why is that? Now, maybe in reality, she just felt uncomfortable because I was taller and she wanted to be eye level and talk to me. Maybe. But see, that's where the anxiety comes in as a black man, because you don't know. No. It's not that you don't know. It's that you know. But other people are going to make you feel like you crazy for knowing. Even it's so funny how we're in a society of feelings. Everybody's doing what they do because they feel. I mean, shoot, a guy can sit and says, I feel like a girl. And then all of a sudden, everybody has to call him her. Pronoun she, her. But if I feel like there's some racism going on, people are first to barrage me with, oh, no, that's not true. You're just pulling the race card. This is what you're doing. It's never about race. Oh, my God. Stop doing that. It's ridiculous. But literally, I could feel as if I'm a pig or a cat. And they got teachers that are addressing these young kids as Kitty. Kitty John, how you doing? But if I say I feel racism, oh my God. Nope. Sorry, you're wrong. The only way you can prove that, I have to prove racism. I have to prove, you know, I don't like that word racism, but I am using it in this content. I have to prove racism. And the only way is somebody come on and say straight out, like, yo, I hate you, nigger. Or I didn't do this for you because you're a nigger. Other than that, I have to go along with the narrative. I can't feel like it's racism. But everybody can feel as if, you know, women could feel as if they were sexually harassed with no evidence, but feel like they were. And at the end of the day, me too, you got to believe them. I feel racism every day. I feel gender discrimination every day. I feel that every day, but I'm wrong. Is it that ironic? Depression and anxiety is very, very prominent. Every day I fight it off. Every day I feel it. I see it. But I fight it. I'm in a better place now. I take responsibility for my actions. I don't let anybody anymore make me feel a certain way. Because see, this is the thing. Regardless of life, regardless of what's going on, you're going to be in your position regardless. That's just life. And when you accept that, you could fight better. At the height of my anxiety and depression, I blamed everybody in the world. I only started to heal when I started to reflect on myself. So black man, don't let depression and anxiety stop you. Fight it. Take accountability for yourself and better yourself. What did I do? Started this podcast. I wrote books. I got certifications. I better myself as a man. So I became a better businessman, started new businesses, got a high paying six figure job, started being a better man. And once I started to reflect and be better for myself and not care, because regardless of anything, bad things will happen in the world. Bad things will happen to you. That is just life. You cannot stop it. See, anxiety is always trying to, oh, this is going to happen. Oh my God. But you got to accept it. It's going to happen. It's okay to be depressed. You could be sad about everything. That's fine. But what are you going to do to better yourself? Because see, there is no real therapy or understanding for us, especially black men. There isn't. So what you have to do is look at yourself and say, what type of man I want to be? And I went on a journey. Of self-improvement. And through being a better man, I was a better husband. I was a better father, a better friend, a better business person because I focused on me. I became who I wanted to be, unapologetic. And that's what you got to do. I'm not saying that medication may not be needed. I'm not saying that therapy may not be needed. But I know the main component is you wanting to be better and not letting everybody tell you who you are. I beat my depression and anxiety, not because people helped me or understood me, it's because I fought through it and became a better man and became the man I want to be. I went on a spiritual journey to be better, a mental journey to be better, an emotional journey to be better, a physical, my last one was my physical journey. Lost 30 plus pounds, looking good. I got abs. I could wear my belt. I got belt fashion now where I can show my belt. And I did that for me. I didn't do it for no chicks, not my wife, not my kids, not my friends, not for the gram, not for Facebook. I did that for me. I became a better man for me. And through becoming a better man for yourself, you start to see your environment change. Because see, the problem is they don't want you to be weak. They won't respect you. They won't help you. They won't reach their hand out down to bring you up. That's not how it is. Even the wife that loves you more than life, there's a certain amount of help she's going to give you because naturally she's a woman. Yeah, she'll help you. She'll rock with you for a little bit. But after a while, if you don't get out of it, she's going to be banging your friend. She's going to be banging your friend or some dude that's been flirting with her at the gym, or flirting with her at her job, or flirting with her on the corner or the block, because eventually she's going to say, shoot, I need some love. I need some protection. Because she's not going to hold you down forever until you make that change for you. Don't worry about these women out here. Don't worry about your wife, your girlfriend. Don't worry about them. As a black man, worry about yourself. Worry about doing good for you. Worry about being the best version of yourself that you want to be. Everything else will fall in line. And if they don't fall in line with your plan, keep it moving. Because you are strong. You are brave. You are able to overcome this. Anxiety and depression, yes, it's there. It's put onto us. We're born into it. We're born into this. And don't get me wrong. Just because you feel depressed or anxiety once in a while, that's okay. I'm talking about if you feel it every day, you want to kill yourself. You don't think you're worthless. You can't go outside. You're scared to make moves. I get it. I've been there. So I'm speaking to somebody who's been there. You know, I can say with the symptoms. There's so many symptoms that at the end of the day, you ever go online and you look up some symptoms you may have? You either have cancer or you're dying. That's, I mean, all the same. But you know, when you are really, really depressed and you want to kill yourself, you don't think you're worthy, or you're scared to make moves or move forward in your life. That's depression, anxiety. And that's what a black man has every day. Every day. But you have to overcome it. Self-reflection. Do it for you. Don't do it for your family. I know you're like, damn, Cass, you got a family? Didn't you do it for your family? Hell no, I didn't do it for none of them. I did it for me, because I understood that the only way I could be good for them, if I'm the best version of me. If I focus on me as a man, being a man, doing what I have to do, then it all trickles down to my wife and my kids, my family, my friends. But if I focus on what they need individually and try to adjust myself to that, I'm not doing them justice, because once I fulfill that need, what's next? No, I am the man. So I have to be a great man, a good man, a better man for them. If I want them to flourish, they need a good man, period. And through that, they'll get their blessings. So don't worry about nobody. Don't worry about your girl. Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about your kids. Be a better man. Get yourself financially stable. Get yourself emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically. Get yourself stable. And then trust me, everybody around you will follow you. Everybody around you will submit to you. Everything around you will conform to your will. So don't let depression and anxiety stop you. Don't. It stopped me for a while until I realized this. And now I got things 10 times back, 10 times better than what I had it before. Literally 10 times better. All right, people, I appreciate you listening to this podcast. This podcast was a little touchy to me because of my experiences, but I appreciate you listening to it. Check out CassidoWilliams.com. You can see everything I'm doing, from my businesses to, you know, my other podcasts, you know, download the Culture Radio app, my network. I am a network owner. Also, you know, you could check out our concept idea for Ivon Hotel and Resorts. I am really moving forward to starting my own brand of resorts, hotel resorts. So we're making things. We had some deals in Mexico, Tulum, about 2 years ago that didn't pan out due to the pandemic or the reaction to the pandemic. But right now we have that full blown moving forward now, looking at properties and opportunities right now. It's going to be a resort thing from, I'm expanding from hotel luxury hotels, adult hotels, to apartment complexes. It's a whole real estate thing that I'm doing right now. But you go to Ivon.com and check out just a little bit of concept, you know, Iyibon.com. And check it out. It's definitely exciting new world I'm entering, but it's great. Also, still got my product line. We're taking it to the next level, meeting with a lot of different packaging companies and stuff like that. So that's great. I got some partners with it, so I'm excited about that, to relaunch that. You know, and I have some other things working on right now, some things in early development, but life is great, people. Depression, anxiety, me, I'm the aftermath of what it could be afterwards if you just apply yourself and move forward. All right, guys, appreciate you listening. Until next time.